Transfiguration Sunday is always that odd Sunday that happens just before Lent, that we're not quite certain what is really going on up there on the mountain. We're not certain why Peter, James, and John are called to come up there and witness to this experience that Jesus has up in that mountain to pray. But he brings these three disciples with him. He brings them with him because he has to prepare them. He has to undergird their ministry with the reality of who he is. He has to be transfigured before them so that when he makes it, that journey into Jerusalem, gets hung on the cross, and gets placed in the tomb and is resurrected, they have this anchor of this mountaintop experience to know who is Jesus Christ, their Lord. But in the midst of it, they're a bit confused and befuddled. Now, hasn't that ever happened to you, to be confused and befuddled in the midst of an experience? Not know why you're going through this, not know what is happening in your life. And God, if you would just explain yourself, things would get better. And then 2 months, 6 months down the road, and things begin to happen in a different manner. You turn around and you look at that event and you go, I know what happened. I know why God placed me in that moment, in that place, at that time. It is all clear to me now about the will of God. Peter, James, and John have that moment for them in the second chapter of Acts when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they began to speak about the message, the good news, the message of the gospel. But I also thought very hard about what does this mean in terms of who Jesus is for you and for me and for the world. And I thought about that moment of transfiguration when the law, Moses, Elijah, the prophets, are seen with Jesus in the middle, that merging of law and prophet to be the promise that God made fulfilled. What does that mean? How does that play out in salvation history? Well, it plays out beginning in Genesis. Remember in Genesis when God had that transfiguration of nothing into creation, into the universe? God transfigured that which had no existence into everything. And then God, as we listen to that rhythm of day and night, the first, the second, the fourth, the fifth days, as creation begins to unfold, and we hear that God calls it good and very good, and then God creates humankind to tend, to care for this creation. So the great master gardener, who is God, creates also those who will assist him in the care and the tender of his creation. But then we hear the story of Adam and Eve. And in Adam and Eve, do you ever think about that time that they walked in the garden with God? As kind of a transfiguration, glowing moment. They must have been glowing as much as Moses was glowing when he was in God's presence. They must have been glowing all over. And they didn't even know they were glowing because that was just their natural state. Because their natural state was always in the presence of God. And then we know what they did. They sinned. And got removed from God's presence. Then we fast forward. I'm making you go pretty fast here. But we fast forward to another mountaintop experience with Peter, James, and John there seeing Jesus transfigured, glowing. And I will bet that Peter, James, and John were glowing and they didn't even know it. They were like, have you ever noticed how the moon glows? But it doesn't have any light of its own, does it? It glows because it reflects the light of the sun. And there they were with this big, dazzling display. They had to have glowing faces and not even know it. But as this creation or mountaintop experience that they were having went on for a day, they knew, Jesus knew they would have to go down to the world. So just as God gave Adam and Eve the care and the tender of the earth, that Adam was to make his life over the breaking up of the ground and the hoeing and the growing of his food, and that it would be hard to do, Peter, James, and John have a whole new garden that they have to go down to. And we hear about that garden in that second half of the passage. We hear about that garden that a day later they came down, and what's waiting for them? The crowd. The crowd is waiting for them, waiting for Jesus so that they can be healed, because they have in their midst one that was not. And so Jesus heals him. But again, what do Peter, James, and John, the disciples that follow Jesus, learn from this moment? They learn that the mountaintop experience is where you are empowered by God, where the master gardener infuses you with light and love and the Holy Spirit. But the mountaintop experience is the experience that empowers you to go out into the fields. And in the fields are people who are broken, who are hurt, who are ashamed. We talked earlier at 8:30 about mental illness and the cost that has on the family, not just on the one who is mentally ill, but on the family and the ones who love around them. And here we had a young man who had a demon that was causing him to foam at the mouth, who was causing him to look like one that we would call mentally ill. And Jesus brought healing into that life. Peter, James, and John were taught that they have to go to those really hard places and be the ones that bring the seeds of hope, be the ones that bring the seeds of peace, be the ones that break open that ground that has been all crusty and torn up so that it can be given the light of God in the midst of it. Brothers and sisters, we're about to receive Holy Communion. We're about to pray the prayer of great thanksgiving that begins with that opening prayer of how God created the heaven and earth out of love, and that God loved us and loved the world so much that he gave us prophets and he gave us priests. He gave us everything to continually draw back to him. We could say, he gave us gardeners and master gardeners that could deal with our own hardened hearts, that could deal with the hardened hearts of the world. And then we're going to hear the story of Jesus and how he had this feast of grain and this feast of grape, and how it is a feast that helps us to remember the gift of his life for us. In the next period that we call Lent, we're going to be looking at what does it mean to be sitting at the feet of the Master Gardener? What does it mean to have God come in God's garden and break up that really, really rough soil? What does it mean for God to till our soil? What seeds does God need to plant in our lives? And then how do we tend this garden that God gave us? If we think about each of us, I was looking out and I thought, oh, look, these are the plants growing in the furrows, and the pews are making great furrows here. But Yeah, I'm sorry. That's just where the image went for me. You just got a view of my head. But each of us, each person is that gift, that seedling that is growing, whether they're young or whether they're not so young. So what does it mean to tend to this garden? And then what is the harvest that God is calling for us to cull out of this? The harvest is peace. The harvest isn't a return to Eden, but it is this earth as a new creation. This earth as God intends it to be in Revelation, when the heavens break open and there is a new heaven and a new earth. And then on Passion Sunday, the reality at the end of the harvest and the end of the sharing of the food, we have to turn that soil under. That sometimes we take living things and bring them under the earth to create something new and rich, and it enriches our soil and our lives. It's going to be a journey that begins when we recognize who Jesus is on the Mount, when we see him transfigured, and then when we follow him down into the garden, into the land he has called us to garden. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.